USA chat with Zat, May 9, 2023.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Satyan. Thank you so much for giving us another chance for your time. The participants are Tahmine, Mandana, Kumud, Mansoor, Angela, Gopi, Niloufar from Atlanta, Negar and Mahnaz, Nasreen, Sepide, Little Flower, Mira, Sohaila, Serenia, Zoya, Adrian, Dina, Kavi, and Baha.
I'm sorry, but I'm here. This is Ahmad. I didn't know how to sign in.
And Gopala is also on the line.
Welcome, Ahmad and Gopala.
It's an opportunity. Let's make the best out of this 30 minutes.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you. Let's see how we can all participate and make this half an hour very profitable, full of grace. So if there is any question or sharing or any of your practices that you want to know more about, or you have some sort of a hang up on it that you want to be more clear, please do come and share with us.
Hi, Satyan. It's Little Flower. First, I wanted to thank you for your grace for watching over my family. I wanted to ask a question on your talk on the 3rd of May after live stream, which I think is one of the most potent talks, and I suggest that everyone listen to it. I ask you, I say, this awareness that I have of sitting here, breathing, my heart beating, the thoughts going, is that the consciousness experiencing through this body, this mind, this particular manifestation? And your reply was yes, at this time, because it is identification. But when you release the consciousness to itself, then only you exist as the consciousness. We don't identify with that because we're not being conscious of consciousness. And Satyan, I've really been sitting with your reply. So is the only barrier as the mind and body, the identification with the mind and body, and not the consciousness as the totality?
Yes. Yes. And remember, identifying with the body is nobody's fault. It's the game of Maya, but it is when our turns comes up as an individual, then we have the opportunity to, through the wisdom, realize that what we took ourselves to be as a limited consciousness that only sees through the eyes of a person, it really isn't. It is the whole entire consciousness is that being. And it's really hard to accept or understand it without contemplating on it. When the consciousness is released by just being limited to this body and form and name, then is infinite. That's when you can say, I am all.
So by your practices, the opportunity to go beyond this identification, we do use the mind and the body as the vehicles to be able to go beyond them and experience what you are saying?
Yes, because we feel in the body and mind, we have no choice but using them. Yes, and all the teaching points to the fact of freedom from from this limited self. And again and again, I have to emphasize the simplest way of just realizing that the thoughts are not what we thought them to be, we accept them to be. And the thinker is not a reality, but is a role that is being played, just like a role of a father or a mother. Then by this knowledge, you begin to sink and stay and not get so affected with every thought that comes or any events that happens or any emotion and mood that pops out. You become the watcher of it. And that is a very, very high state to be able to, at least, if not all the time, sometimes to be able to just disidentify with having to mix with everything that comes along. And at times it's hard because the mind has a tendency that the thoughts just multiplies and they come and make the thinker interested. But if we pick up this habit of just staying and pick and choosing what is necessary now and what is just the story, then to that extent we'll have freedom. It's very obvious. I see people now and then, very normal people, very good people, but they are very disturbed. They are very, very emotionally disturbed. Why? Why a good person, loving heart, should be disturbed? Because they don't know the art of living. A loving without attachment, or allowing the love pours through the identification rather than identification trying to love something.
Sachin, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much your reply meant to me. Thank you.
Good evening, Sat. This is Shepi Day.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a DVD today, and something caught my attention that I'm going to read. It's only a couple of lines. You say the personal thoughts that you pay attention to make you sensitive to the universal thoughts. They go hand in hand and are parallel to one another. Therefore, the only remedy I know is stop, trust. Stop, trust. Stop, trust. And this really caught my attention because I've actually never really paid attention to this parallel between the personal thoughts and the universal thoughts. And I was wondering if, you know, if you would like to add something, like elaborate on that. Thank you so much.
Okay, so when you listen to your personal thought, I mean, the immediate thought of the concern of the family or whatever story that comes with the memory, or personal memory, your antenna is up. Yeah, thank you for telling me. So, when we listen to our personal thought or that combines the memory of this lifetime and the family and all the stuff that we experienced during our lifetime thus far. If we mix with every thought and identify, then it would be like an antenna up that can receive also the collective thoughts. And those are the people that all of a sudden they feel angry and they don't know why, because their antenna is up and they sort of receive this collective thought. Say a place is going through war, like Ukraine or elsewhere in the world. There is a collective fear. There is a collective anger and an anxiety. Now, if a person just stay or stop against their own thoughts as much as they can, try to misidentify with worry and replace it with trust, their antenna is not up. They are not in a collective thought, like a cloud on top of their head. So, and when we, the other way around, when we get too much information about other people's life and other things in the world, then we become sensitive toward our own thoughts too, more than before. So the best way, again, going back to settle down and allow a space between yourself and misidentification to start building up.
Thank you so much, Sat. This, for me at least, it was the first time I came across something like this. Thank you so much.
Sachin, this is Farnat. There is a quote that I have a question about. You say, for 1 second, allow this truth that has been spoken to be accepted. Meaning the me who is sitting here and fills the body and the mind, for the me to accept for 1 second that I am not the imagination. So in that case, I am not the imagination of this body. In that instance, I am the watcher of the dream, free without any problem or obstacle. That is the waking up that I'm talking about. In the first line, you're mentioning, for 1 second, allow this truth that has been spoken to be accepted. And I was wondering if you can elaborate on this allowance. How can we allow or not allow the truth to be accepted? How can we help ourselves to allow the truth to be accepted?
But for most of us, when I say that, I'm just getting your attention to the fact that it's really, really simple, and it always take a split second for it to explode. Now, this explosion has happened to all of you. It will shut down because the soul is not ready as far as the capacity goes to really grasp eternally, constantly. But even those moments that you get it and there is a clarity, or there is this feeling of overjoy, those are the moments that you actually got it in that moment. And this sentence really saying, be receptive. It is not that hard. Open your ears and let yourself accept it. So that's what it is.
Thank you so much.
Satyam Salam Asura. I wanted to share, I think it's an expansion that I have experienced a few times, and then I have a question about it. I've noticed that when I wake up in the morning, especially when I'm in deep sleep, it takes me maybe a couple of seconds, and during that time, I honestly don't know what day of the week, what time it is, and like not even sure, you know, if I know who I am as a person. And it takes me that very glimpse, very split second, until all of that kind of kicks in. And, you know, where I put the mask of the world and put the garments and kind of get going. I remember you have mentioned that in deep sleep, there is no, the awareness is not there. So while mind is silent, there's, you know, that awareness is not there. And it doesn't help us to realize and kind of find a way home. Could you expand on this? Is this my imagination running wild, or is this really something I need to pay attention to and contemplate more?
Well, yes, deep sleep, where the mind is not there, there is no pain. So it's a good measure to see when the mind is not there. But the only thing that is missing between that and self-realization is that consciousness is not there either. So that's the only difference. I mean, enlightenment does not mean, I mean, that you are not conscious. You're very sharply conscious. Beyond the normal people's consciousness, you're conscious. But there is no mind active and as before, for sure. But the most important that the thinker is identifying with the source now. So even if there are waves of thoughts, because the mind thinks, that's all it does, but there is no receiver, as unless there is a prompting to receive it because of accomplishing something. And about your morning, a couple of seconds before, it's good to watch when that happens, to be very, very conscious and alert, to see from where the identification rises, and then you become Mansur. So that's the only help that it could give you, to find a source of where this identification begins to form in the morning for you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Sat. This is Adrienne. I was talking to Reed last night, and he still thinks he can figure everything out.
Yeah.
And and I said, okay, you know, keep on. But I was able to say with 100% certainty that your mind is a tool. There's only so much it can do, but you're so much more than that. And I'm so thankful that I was able to tell him that.
Yeah, it's very, very. I mean, you fed your boy, you fed Reed, the way that a restaurant cannot feed him, even a home cooking. And of course, he's in an age that. Rightfully, he thinks he can do anything, and that's good, fine. But you said, even though you think you can do, you are even greater than that. And then perhaps he contemplate on it, or he doesn't. It doesn't matter. But it's interesting you said that, because I was listening to a video that Sepide sends to me, so I can look at it and okay it so they can put it on the website. And I heard your voice in it. And you and I were, it must have been 2005. What year was it, Sepide?
January 17, 2006,
yeah. Reed must have been the year old or whatever. Anyway, we were discussing a stop meditation together, and it's really good video. You should, as soon as they put it on the website, the trust and let go, I take a look at it. It's, you and I go back a long ways.
This is Adrian. I'm just thankful that when Reed comes to that point where he realizes he can't figure everything out, He won't be surprised or scared.
Yeah. Well, you know that this, we all try that. We cannot stop when it's his turn or our children's turn. And you just sowed a very important seed in him to know that personal effort and personal things, you know, sometimes it weakens, sometimes it's strong and all of that. But I let my children, even though they were swimming in the spirituality when they were growing up, I just let them go. I just let them go, and they had the days that they felt in anxiety, and there were times that, you know, they thought they failed, that they were happy that they succeeded and all of that, and I just watched it from far, because that is a process we cannot protect them from because we did it ourselves. But the good thing is that you are investing in yourself, and I promise you that will reach him, even if he's not interested. I've seen it time and time again, not only in my life, but in everybody that comes, that when the parents start getting into it, their children become more successful in the world and more successful with their approach to the world.
It's so true, Sat. He knows those things. I don't know how he knows things, but he just, he knows things so far ahead of me. It amazes me.
Yeah. It really is. It does happen. It really does. I see it almost daily, how the parents can affect even the time that doesn't appear to be affecting, and the child is going through something that is uncomfortable or it doesn't look good. It always, there is a good reason for it. There is a turning the corner type of a thing. Because become aware of home within our own self, not within somebody else's self, and we get to visit it, maybe not so often in the beginning, but then we start seeing it in our life unfolding by association with this silence and this divinity. And the more we associate with this source of all source, the more it blossoms in our life and our family's life, and we call that grace. But really what it is by association. Had we not associated, then we would be on the surface of the ocean, and it would be commotion. Even Lake Tahoe is calm one day, the next day the waves are so high, we call it white cap. So it cannot not be effective, because it is the base of everything. That and the irony of it is that the more you associate with this source, the less you feel like you know. Your bazaar, as you knew, gets smaller and smaller, but the expansion in your consciousness becomes more and more. It's like a seesaw. It's like the weight goes in a right side of the seesaw. And it's so beautiful that I don't have to, having taught for 20 some years, I have people around me that are being with me for a long time, and they can easily share their own finding, their own expansion. So is a done deal for them. And that is really makes me happy, because then I don't have to teach anymore. I can only share, and you share the same thing I share. is a beautiful, beautiful, it's like a tree that has given wonderful fruits.
Sachin, this is really in my heart to say. I know that this Maya has all of its trickery and times when it's really tough. But Sachin, being with you and having you in our lives, we get to experience so many beautiful, incredible things. I mean, you've taught us joy. You've taught us bliss. You've taught us contentment. You've taught us what it is to have a purpose. You've taught us what it's like to constantly go back home. And the fact that even though the world is not nice sometimes, but having you in our lives and the place you hold in our lives is so significant, and you're so high up there, and you're so precious, and you're so dear. And just having you, thinking of you already makes things easier and better. And I just have to say that to you. And thank you for that again, Sajna.
Thank you, little flower. I really appreciate it. I know for you, the gratitude is more than anybody I know. And I appreciate that, because had you not been happy, you wouldn't be able to show your gratitude toward me. So congratulations to you, and namaste to all of you. I really enjoyed this chat, because you all, we had good sharing, good questions, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a good week.